Navigating the complexities of hair growth and loss can be both concerning and deeply personal. So, what steps should you take? Millions are affected by hair and scalp changes every day. In a society where our appearance can make or break even one day, where should you turn for informative, honest, science-based information? Kimberly Vaughn's goal for this podcast is to offer informative content with the help of subject matter experts, along with individuals just like you.
So without further ado, I want to introduce my kind guest, Dr. Brian Hooper, who is a state-licensed clinical pastoral psychotherapist, founder of Soul and Psyche, a national-reaching laboratory for the soul. Love that. Love that. And we're joined by Dr. Hooper, who is also a fellow with the American Association of Pastoral Counselors, a diplomat with the American Academy of Experts in Traumatic Stress, a fellow of the Integrative Psychiatry Institute. And last but not least, with all the other accolades that you can find on his website, a certified integrative psychiatry educator. So that is a mouthful, Dr. Hooper, and I can't be more honored to have you as a guest today to tackle this tough discussion about trichotillomania.
Well, Kimberly, it's my pleasure to be with you, my dear friend, and anything that I can do to help folks on their journey towards wholeness and well-being, that's a real privilege for me.
Wow. And we thank you and we're blessed to have you. But, you know, we have a lot of listeners who are ranging across the world and across different stages of different repetitive focused behavior. And mm-hmm. So as we know that trichotillomania, also OCD, also a body repetitive behavior, right, is so extremely complex, so extremely difficult, sad, hurtful, and so many other acronyms that we can talk about within this condition. So why don't you kick us off and talk a little bit about the core behind what really is trichotillomania and how is it related to OCD?
Well, trichotillomania is an expression of obsessive-compulsive disorder in one particular kind, and that is, as you said, a body repetitive condition, behavior in which people feel some relief when they pull hairs out of their body, and it can come from any part of their body. And what happens is they have this anxiety that builds up. They find relief in pulling the hair, and then that builds a repetitive cycle. So the relief comes, but then the tension begins to build up again. So it's self-reinforcing and in the direction that we don't want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
It's very, very common. In the entire population in the United States, about 1.7% of all people have it, and that's a conservative number, that's men and women, and that comes from an article from Psychiatry Research of June of 2020. So right. Think about this. If you're not alone. If you're experiencing this, you are not alone. There are about 5,644,000 other people who are experiencing this today with you, and there's hope for all of you.
That's right. Most definitely. And, you know, because HPI has been in business and I've been treating all forms of hair loss and different forms of trichotillomania for 25 plus years, that I think it's important for the listener to understand a couple of just examples, right? I mean, we see individuals as young as 6 and 7 years old. Mm-hmm. At the opposite end of that, you know, we just met with a lovely woman a couple of months ago who was in her late 50s, who mm-hmm. had gone through a very traumatic episode in her life. And so that then turned her emotions into this OCD behavior and this repetitive behavior to allow herself to have some comfort and some true sense of self-help, if you will, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think that's the biggest area of concern is, you know, what once someone identifies that they have a body repetitive behavior, I mean, at that point, what are the insights? I mean, what do they do? How do they identify this? Is it something they can self-identify, self-diagnose?
Yeah, let me just jump in right there so we can keep this moving along for your listeners. OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, of which Trick is a version of that, overlaps. Usually there's another diagnosis that a person will have, often post-traumatic stress disorder, mm-hmm. right? Or ADHD, okay? It's very interesting, the overlap, and be underneath that, then, there's a need to get a legitimate need met, but people are engaging the behavior that doesn't really help them. So the first thing to do is recognize what you're doing. Be awake. Be aware of what's going on. Do you find that you're pulling out hair and like chewing on it? That often happens that folks do that. And there's a certain satisfaction with that. If people are doing that, they're doing it because it's somehow comforting. Although it continues like the alcoholic that reaches for the glass, it's immediately soothing, but then it perpetuates its own problem. So be awake. Notice it. Oftentimes, if people can put a breath between the impulse and the behavior, they can step away from it. But if they can't do that, then they do need to seek treatment. And that's a good time to seek any of the variety of licensed psychotherapists who treat compulsive disorders, obsessive disorders, other anxiety disorders. And I'll just leave it there, and then you can ask some more questions if you want.
Oh, sure. So I want to go back and touch on something. You brought up such a great point about when the hair is pulled and then if it goes to the mouth because there's chewing or that sensation. I want to bring up two other conditions and two other common signs that we see. And so a lot of times when our clients come in, that compulsive behavior of pulling the hair because they feel the scalp not smooth, right? Mm-hmm. So it perpetuates the issue to get worse because when you pull at the hair and as the hair starts to regrow, you continue to pull at the same hair because the area of smoothness that you were working toward now is becoming dimpled again, right? With these independent new little strands of hair. The other thing that we see a lot of is that when the hair is pulled, the sensation around manipulating the bulb of the hair. And it's really, a lot of people say the bulb, but it's really the oil pocket, right? And it's the small little oil fellow that holds on to the end of that hair, but that is rolled a lot of times in the fingertips. Mm-hmm. And it causes that release and that self-calming, just as you mentioned before.
Right.
You know, and for the listener, don't think because you might not have one of these three, you know, areas of action, if you will, that we just described, that you're not as symptomatic of trichotillomania mania, because it can come in many different orders, just like mm-hmm. you said. I mean, mm-hmm. we pull hair from our eyebrows, from our eyelashes, to the top of our head, to any place on our body. And many times that pulling is going to cause very much a different sensation and a different release. So
right.
all That's great exactly points.
Right. Yeah.
So if an individual is finding that this is occurring, Dr. Hooper, what do you feel that, you know, you had mentioned that seeking maybe some help from a psychotherapist or someone that could really help more from a psychotherapy perspective, but interventions wise, you know, you had said if you notice that you've pulled, take a breath, right? And an alcoholic can walk away from a glass. Right? Mm-hmm. Somebody who has a tendency to overeat can walk away from the table. But when our hair is connected to our body, it brings on an entirely different catastrophic issue, right? Because mm-hmm. how do you walk away from it? Do you cut your hand off? I mean, do you put your hand in a glove? You know, so what interventions along those lines do you offer for the listener?
Yeah. So well, let me just talk a little bit about treatment with a therapist, and then we can apply that to what people could do individually. So as I said, the first thing to do is to be awake and aware of what's going on and to engage in some sort of some self cognitive behavioral therapy, which would be to ask myself the question, am I aware of what has brought this on? What are the stresses in my life? Is there anything I can do to get rid of that stress so that I don't need to go to Trick in order to get some relief? I've got other more homemaking ways to be relieved of stress, right? Okay, so some cognitive therapy, examining what's going on in my life, making some choices about, like some people will, if they pull with these fingers, they might put a Band-Aid around one finger, okay? Just as a reminder, because it changes the sensation. They might do that in order to remind them, oh, I don't want to do this, right? We can engage in what's called habit reversal, which is basically a behavioral analysis. In other words, what's immediately leads up to the hair pulling. How can I notice that particular thing? Can I feel the tension rise? And then can I decide now what I'm going to do to relieve that tension in place of pulling the hair? Right? Yeah. Okay. Now, if we're not successful in doing that immediately on our own, then we can go to a therapist and talk about that. Also, we talked about that there are other diagnoses that people have, and mm-hmm. they need to treat those things because this could just be a symptom of that. If they're in a bad relationship and they're seeking to relieve the tension by doing this, then they really need to get at what's going on in that relationship and change it. And one more idea. I think this is really important. All maladaptive behaviors are attempts to get legitimate needs met, but in ways that are not helpful. So I would encourage people to be kind to themselves. Instead of beating themselves up for this, recognize I'm trying to get a legitimate need met. How can I do that in a way which is helpful for me?
That's amazing, but I'm gonna pull us back just a little bit because you brought up the term maladaptive behavior. I think you explained a little bit of that as it regards to trichotillomania, but what is that? What does that mean?
Well, I like to say that all addictions are attempts to get legitimate needs met, but in ways that aren't helpful. So in other words, what is the alcoholic trying to do? And this is true across the board with all these maladaptive behaviors. We're trying to achieve a different internal state. What we want to feel differently inside. So if I'm feeling anxious and I pull the hair out and I enjoy that sensation, the relief of the release, it calms me. Well, that's what I want. I want an inner sense of calm and feeling at home with myself. How can I achieve that apart from the alcohol, apart from the drugs, apart from the obsessive behaviors, apart from engaging in Trick? That's really very, very significant.
Oh, that's huge. And that's a new term for me. So, you know, some of my listeners, I'm sure, are a lot smarter than I am, but boy, that's a new one for me. So that is very, very helpful in just knowing that, you know, and sadly, I think alcoholism is so out there, and luckily it's talked about more than it ever used to be. But I think about just personally, right? I mean, if you pick up and have a second glass of wine, are you having it because you're in a social event? And so that seems to be the right thing to do. Or are you doing it because you are trying to suppress some type of an inner sense? Are you nervous? Are you uncomfortable? Are you angry? Are you sad? Right? And you're hoping that that second, third, fourth glass of wine, drug, whatever of choice is going to put you in this state of either one, forgetting, right? Two, making it feel better. or three, just putting you in a lackadaisical state that you don't care anymore. So that's such beneficial information. Thank you.
And I found that this really helps the people that I work with either addictive issues or OCD of any kind, is that it's like, oh, I'm not crazy for wanting to feel differently inside. That's okay.
Right.
And I don't know what to do to have that experience. So I'm coming to you, Dr. Hooper, to find out how we can do that.
That's right.
And that's where we step in. And that's where I think mindfulness is nothing new. Breathing, meditation is nothing new. But working that in with cognitive behavioral therapy and habit reversal, I think that's what's, and this is across all diagnoses, that's sort of the game changer that's been happening, is happening, and will continue to be advanced treating any kind of mental illness, is helping people learn how to soothe what's going on in their entire body. So in other words, I'll give you a quick example. Dr. Huberman from Stanford has in his research lab, and he's not the only one, have discovered that doing a double breath helps relieve anxiety in individuals. So they take a nice deep breath in, and then they take another quick breath on top of that, and then they let it out. And it clears out the carbon dioxide from the system, and just that alone can physiologically bring down the symptoms of stress in the body. So it's
interesting. Yeah. So there's that second little tiny breath that you bring back in.
Right.
It's funny, there's so many things that you can relate to, but I've never heard of that before. That's such a great tip for our listener. Thank you for that.
If you have a dog and you watch them every once in a while they're sleeping, they'll go. They do it naturally. And we do too, but we're not aware of it.
Oh, really?
We do it when we're sleeping oftentimes, especially if we're not breathing deeply enough, So that's another thing. Be sensitive. If you notice that you're engaging in shallow breathing, that's a sign that you're experiencing stress. You're in a fight or flight. More or less stage, right?
Yes.
So we want to work with I'll be technical for a moment, the parasympathetic nervous system, which is nothing more than the brakes on your anxiety. And we can work with that simply by being mindful of how we're breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Deep breaths, slow exhale, and just coming back into our body. So many of us are so up in our heads, or we're out there so far,
yes,
that we need to return back into ourselves and be contained. Okay. And breathing can help contain us, and then that contains the behavior.
Most definitely. Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Love it. Love it. Oh my gosh, Dr. Hooper, this has been so insightful. I mean, I've learned so much, and I've been treating trichotillomania for many years from a lot of times a cosmetic perspective of helping someone with what's going on with the hair and how we can support them. But I mean, we would be kidding ourselves as trichologists and hair loss specialists if we weren't also realizing the importance of how we can help our clients with some of these steps and these tips that you've just shared with us today. So as we close and as we wrap up, we love to send our listeners away with three tips or three steps or three aha moments, right? That if they find themselves in this OCD behavior, this body repetitive behavior that they're not understanding what's going on, what are the three takeaways that you can leave with our listener today that will really help them maybe either one, understand what is going on, right? Two, step away from it and gain a little bit more control over that response. And then three, just help them really realize, you know, as you said, you're not alone. I mean, this is a very, very, highly talked about and highly concerning condition that we're all trying to help everyone treat.
Well, first own it. In other words, recognize if you're engaging in this repetitive behavior and it's constant, it's not just occasionally, you know, a hair here or there, but it's repetitive and you find that it brings you relief, then chances are you're beginning to qualify for the diagnosis of trichotillomania. Just own it and recognize that and know that you are not alone. As I said, you know, you're one of 5,644,000 plus people who are experiencing this today. Okay. Number two, if you can put a pause between the impulse and the action enough to be able to take a nice, deep, soothing breath, you might need to take 3 to 5 of those deep, I call them the Huberman breaths, right? From Dr. Huberman at Stanford. But that can really cause a person to relax. Then they can make some decisions about what they want to do with that. What's the issue underneath it? How can I address that issue? And the third thing is, don't beat yourself up. Be kind to yourself. People with repetitive disorders of any kind often feel a lot of shame. And I'm just here to say, here's something I learned very important in traumatic stress. It's normal to feel abnormal in an abnormal situation. So if your life is filled with abnormal stress, know that an abnormal response is pretty normal. Be kind to you and go get yourself some assistance. I like to think about what I do is psycho-spiritual coaching for people in many ways. I could care less about a diagnosis. What I'm really interested in is, what's the pattern inside a person that they would like to change and how can we do that together?
Yes. No, that's so perfect. Oh, wow. Well, Dr. Hooper, again, thank you so much. You have just been so insightful for our listener today and for everyone that is having any form of OCD behavior. You've really shared some helpful hints and we're so blessed and we thank you so much for you taking your time today. For the listener, I want you to realize that you can learn more about Dr. Hooper's practice by visiting his website, which is very simply drbrianhooper.com. He offers telemed services, and that's the reason I said, you know, he's national. I'm sure it can be international if he needed to be, as well as he also has a brick and mortar location in the Brentwood, Tennessee area, just outside of Nashville. So thank you so much. And as always, we wish all of you an amazing hair day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode. We hope you've gained valuable insights into the world of hair care and restoration. If you found this episode enlightening, don't forget to drop us a review over on Apple Podcasts. If you're eager to delve deeper into how HPI Hair Partners can cater to your hair needs, why wait? Connect with us today at hpihairpartners.com and make sure you never miss an episode by hitting that subscribe button. Tune in every week for fresh and enlightening updates. Until then, here's to healthier hair and boosted confidence.